Good evening. Well, I had a nice sermon to those Bible verses that Tim read, but this afternoon I decided to change my sermon and wrote a whole new one. Oh, turn my... I am turned on. I'm green down here. I guess that means I'm turned on. At least it's a pretty green light. I decided I'd like to continue with some thoughts that I brought up this morning. My sermon this morning, you probably didn't know it, but as I was preaching, I changed a few things in my sermon as I was preaching. I guess preachers can do that. That's allowable. And I decided to add some thoughts to that sermon this morning, tonight, and I've entitled this sermon, The Lord's Way. And had I thought about it, I would have had Tim read these verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. But he did not think... I think I skipped some, didn't I? I certainly did. You think I need a pair of glasses? I need better reading glasses. Let me start all over again. This time I'm going to get it right. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Christ himself was like God in everything. But he did not think that being equal with God was something to be used for his own benefit. But he gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born to be a man and became like a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death, a death on a cross. So God raised him to the highest place. God made his name greater than every other name, so that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and bring glory to God the Father. We talked about it this morning. There is only one way to the Father. Only one. Through Jesus Christ. There is only one way. Only one way to live your life. There's only one way to walk that life. The Lord's way. And that is what Christianity is all about. Seeking and finding and then walking the Lord's way. The Lord Jesus set in motion a way of life when he came to this earth. This is a way of righteousness. And remember what I said what righteousness meant this morning? Living right according to the will of God. So when you hear that word righteousness, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what that means. It means living right according to the ways of God. That is being righteous. But not only is the Jesus way the way of righteousness, Jesus' way is the way of joy. If you want true joy, then you need to walk the walk that Jesus walked. You need to go his way. His whole frame of mind was to do the will of the Father. He wanted to do what God sent him to do, and his entire life, from birth to death, was focused on doing the will of God. In John 8, verse 29, well, I'm going to read verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am He. You will know that these things I do are not by my own authority, but that I say only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. And here's the important part. Are you listening? I always do what is pleasing to Him. So He has not left me alone. What did Jesus spend His entire life doing? The will of the Father. He wanted to please the Father. Now, wouldn't that be great if all children wanted to please their father? I think that'd be wonderful. And they could please mothers too. That'd be even great too. Jesus set aside His own will that He might do the Father's will. He was God, living in glory and majesty in heaven. The Father asked Him to do this. Would you give up heaven for a time? Become a man, something we created. And as a man, suffer pain and death on a cross so we can save mankind. A lot of people might have taken time to think it over. I'm pretty sure Jesus said, let's do it. No thoughts. The Father's will. We should always make it our aim to do the things that pleases our God, as Jesus did. We need to follow the path that Jesus blazed. Some folks follow their own ways, don't they? Most folks, even us at times. Some people follow the ways of the world. Whether it be music or television, sometimes we follow the ways of the world. Even many Christians look to culture to see how they should walk their walk and live their lives. They want people to see them as being normal, to see them as being one of them. In our case, to be American is sometimes for us more important than to be a Christian. But Jesus said we need to put God first. Let me challenge you with these questions. First off, what is the Lord's way? What is the Lord's will for our lives? What does God desire from us? We should not be interested in inventing some new form of Christianity. Instead, we should turn to the Bible and ask, what pleases God? The Lord gave us His Word to teach us, to instruct us, to correct us. He gave us His Word to show us what His will was and how we should walk our lives and live. And if we follow the righteous ways in the Bible, if we follow God's holy Word, we not only please the Lord, but we have a life of joy. Because God is not only pleased, His blessings flow. And if we live according to the way that God wants us to live, we're living according to the way we have been created. And when you do that which you're made to do, it brings joy. Some people suggest that Jesus was a rebel. But what is true is that He challenged the religious establishment of His time. But the Lord Jesus never went against the will of the Father. His rebellion was not against God, not against the way that God has shown the people of Israel to go. Jesus, if He rebelled, rebelled against the thinking of the time that wasn't biblical. Was He a rebel? Not in the eyes of God. He was righteous. The Lord kept the Father's commandments. If we want to please God, what should we do? Obey God. There's nothing more that He asked of us, but to obey Him and thereby gain eternal life. But there are God's ways and there are men's way, and we need to distinguish between the two, because there is a difference, isn't there? Sometimes men's way go with God's way, but not all the time. God's ways are always right. Men's ways can be right sometimes, but they can be wrong. God's ways are always correct. And that's the Lord's way. And even when the Father commanded Jesus to bear the cross, Jesus obeyed. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus knew His hour had come. Jesus knew the death that He would die. And here's His prayer. Let's listen to what He says. Well, first off, let me show you that He knew what type of death He would die. In Matthew 20, verse 18, He says, "Look, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be turned over to the leading priest and the teachers of the law, and they will say that He must die. They will give the Son of Man to the non-Jewish people to laugh at Him and beat Him with whips and crucify Him." Did He know what was coming? And where did Jesus go? To Jerusalem. Why? It was the Father's will. But Jesus knew something else. But on the third day, He will be raised to life again. You see, He had hope. Yes, He must die, but the Father had promised to raise Him on that third day. So Jesus most definitely knew what to expect when He entered Jerusalem. But He did not hesitate, because He knew it was the Lord's will, the Lord's way. And despite the suffering He knew that would come, Jesus did it. Jesus told His disciples in the garden, still in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, He said, "My heart is full of sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with Me." Just because we think He was God, Jesus was also a man. He knew what was going to happen. And He was sorrowful in His heart. To the point of death, He said. And in Luke chapter 22, in verse 44, it says, "Being full of pain, Jesus prayed even harder. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." You see, He was a man. If He weren't, death would have been nothing to Him. But men fear death, don't we? I don't know, but do women fear death too? Jesus was a human being. He had the fears that we had. Yet He wanted to please the Father. What do you think Jesus prayed that night as drops of blood fell to the ground? Not literal, but figuratively dropped to the ground. Meaning it, showing how hard He was praying, how heavy-hearted He was. What would you have prayed that night, if you knew you were going to be crucified tomorrow? If you knew that people were going to drive nails in your hands and your feet, you know they were going to beat you and spit on you and laugh at you, if you knew that, what would you pray the night before? Let's look at what Jesus prayed. He said, "Let Thy will be done." Would we pray that? The will of God is more important than our own desires. The Lord wants us to follow in His steps. What has Jesus asked us to do? To bear our own cross. "My Father, if it is possible, do not give Me this cup of suffering. But do what You want, not what I want." And when we are asked to bury our cross, that should be our prayer. If it's possible, take this suffering from me. But, Father, do what you want, not what I want. That was the way that Jesus trod. That's the way Christians are asked to trod. Jesus is not asking us to be physically crucified. But following Christ demands that we have a spiritual dying to ourselves. This means that I no longer live for myself, but for the Lord. His will must come first before my own. This means that I no longer live for myself, but the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one died for all, so all have died. Christ died for all so that those who lived would not continue to live for themselves. He died for them and was raised from the dead so that they would live for Him. We do not follow our will, we follow the will of the Lord. He died for us that we might live for Him. Now, if I am to live for Christ, I must quit living for my own selfish desires. And instead of pleasing me, I must live to please the Lord. Serving Him is bigger than my wants and bigger than my ways. Jesus lived for the Father, and we must live for Jesus. That's the Lord's way. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 3. Jesus said this, "Those people who know that they have great spiritual needs are happy because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." Isn't that interesting? People who are truly happy are people who know that they need the Lord. That makes you truly happy. Because that's a realization that's part of creation. What holds creation together? The Lord. What holds us together? It is the Lord. And to know that should make us happy. Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who know that. God will bless, the King James says, the poor in spirit. Those who know of their spiritual needs. And that these needs can only be met in God. This type of person can be happy even though he does not get to have his own way. You know, most little kids have to have their own way or they do what? They stomp their feet and you know, some adults are almost as bad. He just Cletus just looked at Carol and I wonder which one's like that. I gotta find my place. I made fun of Cletus. Now I can't. Now I lost my place. Lost my whole train of thought. That's what I get, isn't it, Cletus? Here we go. He does not think he is more important than others. That's how we should think. I'm not more important than others. We are all God's children. Those who obey and those who don't. He doesn't think that he knows more than God knows. I know some Christians that are pretty convinced that they know more about that than God and God should listen. I know Christians like that, Charlie. Who think, you know, if God only would listen to me. Maybe some of us have had those kind of thoughts. But why does God want it that way? This way is much better. Rather, he looks to God's and His Word. He knows that he needs God's help and is willing to listen to God speak through His Word for our spiritual needs. And our spiritual need is to have our soul saved, isn't it? The Lord Jesus, once again in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. The things I taught were not from myself, Jesus said. The Father who sent me told me what to say and what to teach. And I know that eternal life comes from what the Father commands. So whatever I say is what the Father told me to say. Listening to the Word of God and obeying it, that is the Lord's way. People are not always willing to walk the Lord's way, are they? We each have a selfish and rebellious streak in us. A lot of times I think, why should I do it that way? That way is going to bring some suffering. I'll do it my way, and it'll be a lot easier. But in the end, which way would have been easier? God's way. We want to run our own lives. We want to follow our own desires. And you know what? This makes us vulnerable to what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. You know, Paul preached and taught. Some of you are going to want to have preachers that preach to you what you want to hear. You want your ears tickled. You don't want to hear the truth. No one wants to hear they're wrong. No one wants to hear that there is a hell and that they're heading that direction. No one wants to hear those things, do they? I most certainly don't, but it's good for me. It's good for me to hear that and know that. Like Eve, people tend to be easily deceived, hearing what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. Proverbs 14:12, some people think they are doing right, but in the end it leads to death. We must be very, very careful what path we choose to walk. We read it this morning. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is wide that leads to hell. And many people enter through that gate. But the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to true life. And only a few people find that road. The broad, popular, easy way is not the Lord's way. It leads people from God, not to God. And yet, is that not the way that many like to go? The popular, easy, broad way? No stumbling blocks? You know, Satan doesn't put stumbling blocks before you if you're going the wrong direction. That's the direction he wants you to go. The prophet Jeremiah, I think he was known as the weeping prophet, lived when people were very rebellious against God. The time they were taken, he lived to the time when they were taken into captivity. He wrote the book of Lamentation. And the prophet of God called to the people. This is found in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand where the roads cross and look. And where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk on it. If you do, you will find rest for yourselves. But they have said, we will not walk on the good way. He said, you need to look at the old ways, the way God gave. We like to call them the old ways. I wouldn't call them old ways. I would call them God's ways. He said, look back to that time. That's the direction you need to be going. And what do the people say? We don't want to walk that way. You see, it was a choice to be made. We can do things God's way or we can do things our own way. But only one way leads to peace. Only one way leads to righteousness. And only one way leads to love. The other way leads to destruction. Many people assume they can walk any way they want religiously. But human paths don't lead to God. God's ways. You want to know how to get to heaven? Look here. Don't look in books. Books may be right, they may be wrong. The Bible's always right. Also, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, starting at verse 21. Jesus said, "Not all those who say that I am their Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven." Isn't that amazing? Not all who claim to follow the Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus just said. The only people who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants. That's the difference. Those who say, "Lord, Lord," that could be just words. But to call someone Lord, you're saying what? You have the right to rule my life, and therefore I will do what you say. But some people say, "Lord, Lord," don't mean it. The only people who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On the last day, many people will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we spoke for you. And through you, we forced out demons and did many miracles." Then I will tell them clearly, "Get away from me, you who do evil. I never knew you." Evil? Weren't they doing good? Doing miracles? Casting out demons? Isn't that good? But Jesus said, you didn't follow the commands of the Father. You're evil, and I don't know you. Now, this is an important principle to Jesus. In fact, he illustrates it with a comparison between two men who go out and build houses. Let's read that. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. We know the song and we know the story by heart, don't we? But let's listen to him. "Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. It rained hard, the floods came, and the winds blew and hit that house. But it did not fall, because it was built on rock. Everyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It rained hard, the floods came, the winds blew and hit that house, and it fell with a big crash." Now, what was the difference between these two houses? Both men did what? Went out and built. They weren't lazy, were they? They both went out and built. What was the difference? One built upon the words of God, and one did not. He says, "Everyone who hears my words and does not obey them," that's the difference, "does not obey them, is like this foolish man who built on sand." And how'd that house go? Splat. Why? Because they did not obey the words that Jesus taught them. And what were those words? To obey the Father, to do the Father's will. That's the difference between the two men. One man heard Jesus and did what he said. The other went his own way and did what he wanted. He followed something else, and that something led to his destruction. When people forget God, they go their own way. They hurt themselves thereby in ways they never would imagine. They not only sin against God, they sin against themselves as well. You see, without God's way in our lives, things can become very chaotic. Selfish ways lead to heartache. They lead to despair. We need the Lord's way. And every law of God is for our own good. I loved, as a kid, and I still do, chocolate. And I learned that German chocolate's much better than American chocolate. And Belgium chocolate's even better than German chocolate. And Swiss chocolate's pretty darn good too. Now, if I had said to my mom, Mom, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm only going to eat chocolate and drink chocolate milk. My mom said, okay, fine. How would I have turned out? Probably very big and very unhealthy. Why? I was eating. I wasn't eating what I needed to be eating. If you want to be healthy spiritually, there's only one place to turn. And if what your preacher says or what you're taught is different from what's in this book, it's wrong. God is right. God's way is always right because God would only give us commands that are best for us. He made us. He knows how we tick. He knows how we think. And therefore, His ways are going to make us work properly, tick properly, think properly, and be happy and joyful in life. He gave us His laws to us that He might bless us and keep us. He did not give us laws to hurt us. And when we walk in the way of the Lord, we avoid the pitfalls of life that hurt and destroy us. This day, which way do you choose? The way of Jesus? A hard way. A way possibly of suffering. A way to a small gate that leads to life. Or do you choose this day to follow the broad and easy way? The way that makes you acceptable to others, but not to God. That's a choice that we have to make. Which choice do you make this evening? God's way or your own? If you need the Lord, come as we stand and sing.